I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Catherine Clark joins me now. She is the host of Beyond Politics, where she interviews MPs from all parties from across the country, not about politics of the day, rather about who they are beyond political life. She shows us these politicians as they really are. And the conversations are interesting. We first saw Ms. Clark back in the late 1990s when her father, former Prime Minister Joe Clark, returned to political life to run for the leadership of the then Progressive Conservative Party. She was a visible and solid campaigner for him. She's appeared on television since 2001. Beyond Politics airs Sundays at 6 p.m. Pacific. You can see recent programs on CPAC.ca. I'm pleased to welcome to the Planta on the Line program Catherine Clark. Good morning, Ms. Clark.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
Did you always want to be on television?
No. No, I have a degree in art history. So evidently I didn't want to be employed, but I fell into it, really. I just had done something, actually, in the during the 93, I guess it was, leadership campaign for YTV. And the producer of that show, it was literally a two-minute thing, called me up in 2000 and said that he was working with a digital channel and did I want to audition for a part there. And I was at that point working in a public relations firm, and just for fun I agreed to do it, and pretty much with a few years of working for a nonprofit thrown in the mix there, I've worked in television ever since. So it really happened completely haphazardly. It was not a plan.
And the idea for Beyond Politics, was that yours?
Yes, it was, because I, first of all, I thought that CPAC would be the perfect place for that type of a show. I was working for them anyways, doing a Sunday morning call-in show, which I really didn't think was my strength in any way. I just have trouble cutting people off, and I don't want to hear the same political rhetoric coming from political pundits all the time. So I didn't feel that it was a natural fit for me, and I was trying to think of something that I could do that would be of interest to me. And talking to people about themselves and their lives is really something that I both enjoy and that I hope I'm relatively good at. And I just decided to pitch the idea, and Colette Watson, who is the president of CPAC, was game, and the rest is history.
How long has this show been going on now?
It's been going on for, I was trying to think of that, and it's been going on probably for 3 years now. It's got to be 3 years now. My daughter's almost four, and I started it the summer after her birth. So it was, it's been, it's hard to believe that it's been that long already.
And you have one child, do you?
I have two.
Two.
I have a daughter, Alexandra, and she's the one who's almost four, and I have a son, Charlie, who is going to be a year in a month, in April.
And the schedule for doing the show, that's conducive to being a mom, right?
It is. I'm learning quickly that there's not a lot that you can do outside of the house that's conducive to being a mom
right.
when you have two kids. But I'm committed. I love what I do, so I make it work, and I have a great husband. But I also have a wonderful caregiver that I can take my kids to, and that's generally what I do for taping days. We tape, sometimes we'll tape one, possibly 2 days a month, and we group tape. So I'll tape 4 to 5 shows in a day, and then we're done for that month, and sometimes even longer. When I was going to have my son, we taped about, we group taped about 26 shows, really, so that I would be covered for a few months to go and have my son. But it really is an exceptional schedule for me. It works out very well. And I do some writing also for a local paper and a local magazine, and those are also things which are flexible, which I think a lot of women are looking for now, and men in a lot of cases too, but especially women are looking for work that they can do that allows them to have time with their family as well.
And when you tape these shows, when we watch them on Sunday nights, are they sort of live to tape? Like, do you tape for an hour, say, or do you tape for the actual time that you're on TV?
No, we tape for the actual time we're on TV. Yeah, it's live to tape, so they... and people know that going in, but they seem to, the half an hour really does seem to fly by. I have to admit there are sometimes when the half an hour doesn't fly by,
yeah.
And I'm trying to find questions that I can ask, but generally it goes by very, very quickly, and I try to keep it as conversational as possible, because first of all, for a lot of these people, it's the first time that they've actually spoken about their personal lives in any substantial way, and they are often completely unaccustomed to doing so. So I think that if I don't keep it conversational, it's the type of subject matter where it's easy to get your back up or to be concerned about what you're going to say if I'm asking, you know, how did you meet your husband or wife, and, you know, what was your first thought the night you lost or you won, those types of questions. So I do try to keep it as light as possible.
How much is research, and how much of it is what you already know, say, from living in Ottawa, and perhaps stuff that you've heard, gossip even?
I try. I admit that I have my head buried pretty firmly in the sand most of the time, just because of being at home with two children. So getting to read the newspaper is a luxury for me, even online. So the gossip element just doesn't even factor in. With regards to how much is research, I really think it's important to do research, because you find out things about people, especially now with access to the internet, that that's information that you wouldn't otherwise have, and it can often be extremely relevant to the interview. For instance, we all know as interviewers or people who work in the media, that if you can find that one question, especially during a tough interview, that makes the person stop and think, or it surprises the person you're interviewing, that can turn the whole interview right around. And often that's the stuff that I'm looking for. And I'm also looking for just funny things about people that our viewers might not otherwise know. For instance, Dr. Keith Martin, he's a physician, but he'd also delivered an elephant or something when he was traveling abroad. I mean, those are the kinds of little things that that are interesting to our viewers, and make the subject, the person that I'm interviewing, light up a little bit.
Well, we have this idea of politicians, I guess, from the rest of people in the rest of the country. We have this idea that they seem disconnected with the public. And when I first saw the show, I sort of got the feeling that you were trying to humanize the guests to make them less political and more personal. Does that come from a frustration you might have had or experiences you might have had, considering that you had parents who were high profile, who throughout their public lives had these misconceptions surround their personas?
Yeah, it was really important to me, first of all, to deal with the issue of cynicism. I felt that if people could see our members of parliament as human beings, that it would help to put to rest some of this sense that politicians are in it just for themselves. There's so much cynicism about politicians, and I was always amazed, and still am amazed, when people stop my dad and say, oh, you know, we voted for you, or... And I have to say, if everyone who stops dad and says that they voted for him, that actually voted for him, we would have had a mind-blowing majority. But it's still, they say things like, you're the only one who had integrity, or, oh, you were always so trustworthy. And I think that's lovely to hear, but it also saddens me a bit, because there are so many, and the vast majority of members of parliament are doing their work with a true sense of purpose and vision, maybe a vision that some of us don't agree with, but at least they have a vision for the country. They're setting aside their time to come here every single week, be away from their family, their friends, their home, and to do work that's both important to them and important to the country. And I really wanted to be able to show Canadians that these are human beings. These are people with lives, and they just have a job that's a bit different and that has a bad rap.
And that's from all parties, your experience, right?
It is totally my experience from all parties. Yeah, absolutely. I have had guests from every party, and everyone is perfectly happy to chat. Sometimes it's a little tougher getting certain guests than others because this current government has a bit less, they're a bit less lenient with their own ministers especially, and sometimes their MPs about the media. But when we manage to get people on, they're perfectly pleasant and absolutely open in their discussions. And I've been really delighted about that. And I've been delighted that the MPs actually seem to enjoy their experience. And I think it's partly because they feel the cynicism every day.
And you get a lot of feedback about the show, do you?
Not really. I don't get a lot of feedback about the show. I get it when I see MPs. If I'm at an event in Ottawa, MPs will often stop me and say things like, that was a lot of fun, or I got a great reaction from my constituents. So that's always pleasant. And we do get emails at work from viewers, and I'm always thrilled to get viewer reaction in that manner, too. But I don't go out and solicit feedback.
Yeah.
I'm not a bear for punishment.
There's a lot of talk about you on the Internet about how consequential you were to your father's campaign in 1998. One of the things you did back then, and I think you did this in 2000 and during the election campaign then, was try to engage youth and youth voters and interest in politics. Do you think you succeeded?
Oh, God, I don't think anyone succeeded at that.
Yeah.
Not yet. I mean, unless you're President Obama, he did pretty darn well.
And what do you think? What do you think needs to happen to get young people interested?
Well, I think we have to be a lot savvier about our use of technology. I think we have to go to young people because they're certainly not going to come to us, or if you're a politician, to that politician. Unless they're engaged. We can talk a lot about how important the issues are and, you know, focusing on issues that matter to young people, and that's really important, but I think more than anything, youth like to feel like they're involved in some kind of a movement, and they like to feel like they're being forces for change and forces generally for good. And you have to create a sense of a movement and then engage young people through, I think, technology and any other form of communication that grabs their attention, and reel them in, get them to feel like they are actually genuinely part of something. Because young people also really have a high, let me think of a proper way to say this. They have a low tolerance for just, you know, empty words, empty rhetoric. And they often don't have a heck of a lot of time for adults, and then, like, older adults anyways, because they've had their parents giving them the rules for their entire teenage years, and they're ready to have their own life and not listen to what other people have to say to them. They want to have their say. So it's really super complicated, and obviously no one has figured out the right path except potentially President Obama. So we have a lot to learn from his campaign.
So do you think young candidates themselves would be an answer, perhaps? Candidates that young people could relate to, perhaps?
Yes, that's absolutely one terrific way, and it's great when young people do get involved in that way because then they also see what it's like to have to run a campaign, to raise the money, to get people on side. But I also, and so I would never say that that's a bad idea, that running is a bad idea as a young person. But experience also does count for a lot. And sometimes the way to learn the ropes is to work behind the scenes on a political campaign, see what it's like, and go from there.
So inevitably the question comes up then, or do you have plans for politics yourself?
No, I don't, and I'll never say that I won't ever do it, but I know what it's like. I've seen it. My dad was away a lot. That never affected me as a child because I traveled with him a great deal, but I also had my mom around, and I had a series of staffers. His staff was very much like our family, and we have a big, my mom has a really big family, so there was always someone around me, but I know the sacrifice. I know what it was like for my mother, and I know what it was like for Dad. And he even comments now when he spends time with me, with my children, that he realizes how much he missed out on. So I just can't imagine at this stage in my life contemplating a political run. Possibly if there was a major issue that just got me all riled up, I would do something about it. But I remain firmly patriotic and committed to my country, but my marriage and my children come first.
Yeah. This misconception we have about politicians, back to that for just a sec. I mentioned earlier that Ottawa seems disconnected to the rest of us. Living in Ottawa, do you get that sense too?
Sometimes. I get the sense that, I don't think that Ottawa, do you mean Ottawa the city, or do you mean MPs when they're in Ottawa?
Yeah, MPs when they're in Ottawa, we tend to think that they don't understand us, or they don't understand the rest of the country, maybe.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think that that is a total misconception, because the fact remains that these people come home every weekend. So it's really tough to lose sight of the issues that matter to your constituents when you are, you can't buy radishes without being chatted to by or talked to and having to chat with 30 different constituents. But I think that Ottawa is not a place that's conducive to having a small ego. I mean, I do attend events here. I see what it's like to have a series of people whose job it is to tell MPs how wonderful they are, and have those MPs surrounded by those people all the time. And MPs socialize with other MPs in Ottawa, and that's just a fact of life because the work hours are so long. But Ottawa isn't reality for those MPs. Going home is reality. But, again, that's one of the things that I focus on the show when I talk about family. Some of the people we're talking to, or I'm talking to, are people whose marriages have broken up over the weekly separations, over the stress of the job. It's not an easy life, definitely.
Catherine, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm a fan of the show. I'll let you go back to your son there.
To my screaming son?
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. The program is Beyond Politics. It is on CPAC at 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights. It's also streaming at cpac.ca. It's host Catherine Clark on the line from Ottawa in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Lanta.